as we do on the Thursday before every Cowboy game. We will have first look at the Cowboy opponent. This week, Norm, we are looking at the Philadelphia Eagles.
Coached by Doug Peterson. And do you remember when the Eagles named Doug Peterson coach, how Eagles fans went, oh, no, another disciple of Andy Reid, and we just got rid of him. Well, Doug Peterson and Andy Reid are two of the primary attack, throw-it-around coaches in the league now, completely different from the Andy Reid that many thought was way too conservative when coaching the Eagles. This Doug Peterson's in year four, and he already has a ring on his finger. In his 3 years, the Eagles are 36-23, winning the Super Bowl 2 years ago and making it to round two last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they only made it to round two because of the Bears' double doink field goal miss in round one. The Eagles arrive at game seven. The same way the Cowboys have arrived at Game 7 in one regard. They've each lost a game their fans say, how did we lose to them? With the Cowboys, it's the Jets. And with the Beagles, it's Atlanta, whose butt has been bumping bottom other than that win over the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
But the Eagles have something the Cowboys don't this season, and that's a win over a good team, the Packers. And if you take the two schedules combined, well, Philadelphia's played what appears to be Donovan the stronger of the two schedules. But now, here are the beaten-up Cowboys who yesterday did not have at practice five starters. Amari Cooper, Byron Jones, Travis Frederick, Tyron Smith, Lael Collins, and two other guys that you might as well call starters, nickelback Anthony Brown, and slot receiver Randall Cobb. But there are the Eagles, all beaten up themselves. By the way, that's not unusual for the Beagles. They've been suffering a lot of injuries lately on that squad, and there are questions about that. Hey, what's going on with training staff, training methods, things like that? But here's the bright light for the Eagles this week, Donovan. They would like to start at cornerback Jalen Mills and Ron Darby. That's the master plan. Those two have not started a game together for a year. In late October of last year, the injury started them out, and they haven't been on the field together in a year. But they might be this Sunday. And DeSean Jackson's injury, apparently he might be back this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So the Eagles might be getting a little well. They won't have the defensive tackle Malik Jackson. Maybe not Darren Sproles. I don't know about the linebacker Nigel Brabham. You get the idea. Both teams are beaten up here.
Everyone. But I'll tell you one thing about Philadelphia that I think a lot of people, I don't know if they overlook it, but it's something that we really need as far as the Cowboys are concerned. When they get into the red zone, they score touchdowns.
They score touchdowns. Yes, they do.
It's not selling for field goals. They get into that nice, nice area, getting close to the end zone, and they punch it in. They are fourth in the league in red zone TD percentage at 70%. 20 red zone attempts, 14 touchdowns.
Oh, if only.
I know, right?
If only. The Cowboys might be 6-0 if they had that kind of percentage.
Let's see where the Cowboys are right now. Yeah, because that was the one thing where, oh, man, Kellen Moore, maybe the red zone efficiency will go up. And it has with the Cowboys. Cowboys are one touchdown behind Philadelphia.
Yeah, but
20
that counts,
attempts, 13 touchdowns.
That counts games against the Redskins, Giants, and Dolphins. That was easy to get into their ends.
Well, Philadelphia is Washington, Atlanta, and the Jets also.
But that was the Jets without Sam Darnold.
Right.
Okay. The interesting thing about this game, before we get to the numbers for me, is the schedule. When we talked about the NFC East before the year began, this was, and I think our proper analysis of this, when we talk about it, Donnie, looking at the two schedules, Dallas, after 10 games, had to have a two-game pad or so on the Eagles. They had to be two games ahead of them because the Eagles' finishing schedule, the last five, at Miami, home to the Giants, at Washington, home to the Cowboys, at the Giants. You could see 4-1 or 5-0 in a stretch like that, given that they catch the Cowboys at home. The Cowboys' stretch includes some really rugged football games. Patriots, Bears, Bills, Rams, at the Eagles. Right now, the Philadelphia Eagles are in the midst of a, and the NFL does not like to do this, three straight games on the road trip. And boy, Donnie, you look at three games on the road consecutively. At Minnesota, at Dallas, at Buffalo.
That's tough.
Yikes, yeah. Man. But in Philadelphia, the thinking is survive. Survive. If you can just get to game eight and be alive, it's something like 4-4 or something like that. But anyway, what does Philadelphia do? What don't they do? Boy, it's hard to run on this team. They give up only 3.3 yards per rush and only 73 yards a game. That's the second best rushing defense in the National Football League. So you think, we may have to throw the ball this weekend. If Philadelphia has its starting corners back, that may not be as easy as opponents have had it because they are 29th in the league.
Opponents have had it easy throwing the ball on them, for sure.
You can throw against them. You can throw. They've already allowed, we're only six games in the season, they've allowed four 300-yard passing days in six games. Oh, my. Well, it's not hard to understand how you'd lose some games being gouged that way through the pass.
And they give up a lot of points. The only time they haven't given up 24 points in a game was against the Jets in their third-string quarterback. Other than that, it's 27, 24, 27, 27, 38. Their defense, and I think a lot of people thought their defense was going to be pretty good this year. They haven't been good so far at all.
Well, if they could get well, if they could get Mills and Darby, their starting corners, well, if they could get defensive tackle Tim Jernigan well, if they could get linebacker Nigel Brabham well, ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. Couple of odd things looking at these teams. Well, first, similarities. Both of these two drop so many passes, it's ridiculous. Next, both of them have trouble rushing the quarterback. Each team has only 14 sacks on the season. Gee. Philadelphia has a higher time of percentage or time of possession games than Dallas? Gee, that's one you never expected to see. But they do. They possess it 31 minutes a game and Dallas 29. The one that got me, Donnie, Carson Wentz has run the ball more than Dak Prescott. Wait a minute. Prescott is a runner. But that's something we haven't seen much this year, have we? I mean, run or scramble.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that ill-fated 4th-and-2.5 run last week by Dak. But a worry. Two final points. One worry. Kicker. Their kicker's 7-for-7.
He's good.
Jake Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Our kicker's 7-for-11. Hopefully this does not come down to a field goal. But when you look at everything on paper here, everything, this game seems more important to the Cowboys than it does to the Eagles. Given the Eagles' closing season stretch, they seem in a position to more afford a loss here. Dallas, if it lost a 4th in a row, what would the talk be like after the game?
Going into the bye week also, so you have a couple of weeks to kind of fester in the madness of what happened Sunday night against Philadelphia. it would not be fun around here. Yeah, I think the Cowboys, and I usually don't say this because I am one to think that you have a ton of football left, and it doesn't matter what your closing schedule is like. If you're playing really good football and you're a good team, you can line up and beat anyone. That's my thought.
Exactly.
But when you sit back and think about it, I do think that when you have expectations and those things are real, and you have the only team in your division that could possibly threaten you for a division title, because we know Washington is not, can the New York Giants get on a roll and get some legs? I don't think so. It's Dallas and Philadelphia. You win this game, you win the game in Philadelphia, I will put all the money down in my wallet right now to tell you that they win the division. It's down to these two games.
A Donnie Hawk on that?
Boy, I couldn't do it. It's a reverse Hawk. These two games are huge. And Sunday night, you have to go out there and establish back your home field advantage and beat a team that is right there, that's in your way from making it to the playoffs. Because I do think it's going to be one team in the NFC East that makes the playoffs. That's the division winner. And that's your opponent. That's who you have to go get. You have to get this game Sunday.
Do you, after the loss to the Saints, you know, maybe we were sniffing ourselves too much and all that stuff, and last week we're going to get our swag back and all that stuff. I think there's a philosophical question here. If this is a fourth consecutive loss followed by 2 weeks of in our area, I wonder where the confidence level of this club would be. I just wonder that. I'm not saying it would be terrible.
Sure.
I just wonder where it would be.
Because last year the confidence level I don't think was very high at 3-5. They got on a run and started gaining that confidence, but it was pretty low. And I think it may be low. Yeah, you have no choice for it to be low after losing four straight games.
But remember last year, Amari Cooper showed up.
Sure.
And suddenly the sun broke through the clouds. Mm-hmm. We had somebody to throw the ball to, and the offense looked totally different. Now,
not happening. There's not a trade out there to be made like that. So it's all about this group and them getting their swag back.